We're going to move right into the lesson, and I know the fellows are busy putting the offering away, so Brother Bragg, if you could jump up, and maybe some other guys could help. Let's get the handout out, please, to people. And Glenda was up tonight to sing, and I just asked her, would it be horribly disappointing if we went ahead right into the lesson, and she was fine with it. So we didn't get to this lesson last week, and I want to get to it tonight. So if you would, find... you'll get your handout there, number 19, and find Proverbs chapter 14. So Proverbs chapter 14 is where we will be this evening for a little bit. As we go through the book of Proverbs, learning principles of wisdom. Principles of wisdom. And we'll be on Living Wisely principles number 31 and 32 this evening. So keep your hand up until the ushers come by. Thank you, fellas, for helping out, and appreciate it. And I hope we have enough tonight for the crowd. Appreciate so much y'all coming out on a night like this. All right. So, anybody not? By the way, my wife and I, Ben and Ashley, we might be transporting them to St. Louis either Monday or Tuesday of next week to pick up a van for their 4 months that they're in the States. With that being the case, I did not want to be caught next Tuesday on the road and unable to vote. So we voted early yesterday. And I was surprised at the number of people that were at the polling place here in town, down here at the municipal building. There was like 10 people in front of us, and there was a constant stream after us. I have voted early before in elections in Kankakee, and really never had that much of a wait. So I'm surprised at the number of folks out early, and I hope that you're planning on voting. We may talk a little bit about it this coming Sunday night as well, and exercise not only your right, but your responsibility as a citizen to vote. Father in heaven, thank you tonight again for the opportunity to be here. I pause right now just in prayer to ask you to bless our lesson tonight. Lord, it's your lesson. It's lessons from your book. So fill us, use us, bless us, teach us, help us, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Look with me right there at verse number 1. We will take our principle number 31 right from that verse. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Living wisely, principle number 31. The wise woman, pardon me, is happy in her great calling. The wise woman is happy in her great calling. We'll go right away to number 2 on your sheet there. The two great callings for most women, for the large percentage of women in the world, the two great callings are that of wife and motherhood. Wife and motherhood, okay? Now, I understand that, there are some, both men and women, who never marry. I understand that. It's part of God's plan. That is the exception. It's not the rule. For most men and women, God's plan is for them to marry, and as husband and wife to bear children. And in that situation, the two great callings for that woman are that of wife and motherhood. Now, I also understand that circumstances and situations develop where it is necessary for some women to work. And I'm not going to throw the women in this church who have a job under the bus tonight. You know, the truth of the matter is, we have some fine ladies who work in this church and school ministry right here during the week, and it would be very difficult without them. I've tried to be careful over the years. If you've been here, you've just kind of observed, you've seen that. I've never hired a mother who had small children into a full-time position here. We've had some mothers with children whose kids were in school that worked here while their kids were in school. We've had occasions where maybe a mother would work part-time, maybe a day and a half a week, but only where there are relatives in the area that could watch, like grandparents, grandma and grandpa, that could watch some of the younger children. And it's not always been easy, but I've been careful about hiring, taking mothers out of their homes, away from their children, for a full-time position here, either in the church or the school. Been very careful about doing that because I believe that every woman should know that God's first and highest place of honor for you to serve is in your home. I believe that with all my heart. That's number 3, okay? God's first and highest place of honor for a woman to serve is in her home. Now, the wise man said in verse number 1 here that the wise woman builds her house. So the wise man says the wise woman builds her house. Now, some would say that, the wife helps to build the house by bringing home a substantial or at least a supportive amount of income. And I suppose that is true to some extent. I know there are situations here in the church where a wife and a mother brings in some amount of income into the family. And I'll be honest with you, these are days where it's pretty difficult. But here's what I want to say tonight. There are some tangible and intangible ways a woman being at home helps to build her house. Tangible and intangible, okay? And you really have to weigh the costs against the gains in this matter, and you better be dead dog sure it is advantageous if mom, wife goes outside the home to work. You have to really weigh the cost. And you can't just take the money into consideration. As I said, there are tangible and intangible ways a woman being at home helps to build her house. Now, my wife's in the nursery tonight watching Brady. I imagine that's what her full-time job is tonight. That's a convenient thing for a grandmother to do, to be in the nursery with a newborn. But anyway, she takes her turn in the nursery on Wednesday nights. And so she's not in here, but I would say this. If she was in the service tonight, and she may be listening, and I'm sure if I mentioned her name, her ears are definitely perked up right now. And I love you, sweetheart. I want you to hear that. All right. So, but anyway, we've been married, 37 years now, 37 and a half years here in another month. And Joyce has never had a position outside the home that where she brought any money into our family. We've just never been able to do that for whatever reason, okay? So when we were first married, she had a little babysitting job for Joe Combs. That name will remember, you all know some of that. She was his secretary as a work scholarship before we were married, and so they began to babysit. She would babysit, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure that she ever even got paid for some of that. Maybe she did, but it was minimal. We were just first married. Went to Marion Avenue. I think she worked a month as Brother Brown's secretary there before she became expecting with Hannah. And then she got off that. And so since she's been expecting with Hannah, which was 1980 sometime, she has never, we've never had a situation where she brought money into our home. But I want to say this. I believe with all of my heart that there have been several tangible and intangible ways she has helped to build our house for these 37 and a half years. You can't always measure it in dollars and cents. Just can't. I've said before, I'll say it again and again, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad who has to work outside the home. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus tonight. But I've said, I've made this point several times. This is opinion. I don't have a Bible verse for this. This is opinion. A child comes into the house. A child gets out of school, 3:30, whatever. They come in the house. You ask them, how did your day go? What happened at school? They'll talk your ear off. You give them 2 hours because mom is at work somewhere. Give them 2 hours somewhere with a babysitter or at a daycare. And then go home and say, how was school today? And they'll say something like, well, it was fine. They live in the moment. Children live in the moment. Okay, that's what children do. And there's something valuable. You can't measure that in dollars and cents. That's an intangible asset that a mom brings to a home that you really have to consider when you consider. First of all, you got to consider the cost, because there's a lot of women out there who are working, stressful jobs, making X amount of money, and 80% of that goes for daycare. And when it boils down to it, they're working for beans. And so you got to really sit down and think it through, okay? Here's my opinion, okay? Based on a principle here, all right? If you ever get with somebody who has been able to stay at home, I don't think they regret it. I don't think they regret it. I don't think they look at life like, I don't think they look at situation like, boy, I've missed out on life. I don't think they do it. The ladies I know don't look at it that way, okay? So you've really got to consider the tangible and intangible benefits that mom brings to the home when she's there, and really sit down and put, not just put numbers on paper. You got to do that, but you better consider the intangible benefits that don't factor into numbers. Are you understand what I'm saying tonight? They don't factor into numbers. Okay, so be careful. Now, ladies, your husband has been given the command to rule his house, so you look at taking care of it as your duty. Okay, look at it. Your husband's given the responsibility to rule the home. So you look at it, taking care of it as your duty. Keep it clean, keep the clothes washed, keep them ironed, keep them properly put away, provide home-cooked hot meals, work with the children, and then when the world talks to you about what you do for a living, they'll say all you do is stay at home. Oh, you're just a stay-at-home mom. Busy, 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 where the work is never done, never finished. And there's certainly nothing wrong with teaching them, your children, as you work with them. There's nothing wrong with teaching them, especially the girls, to help you build your house. Now, you got to be careful that you don't make your teenage daughter a surrogate mom. You got to be careful. 13, 14, 15-year-olds are not supposed to be mothers. They're supposed to be daughters. Amen, Brother Angel. It's a little quiet, but that's all right, okay? And look, we had a large family, you know, so we had six kids, and there's a 15-year difference between Hannah and Cherith. I think that's why Hannah probably cried longer than Joyce did when she found out her mom was going to have a baby. You know, she just did. But we worked hard not to make Hannah a surrogate mother in place of Joyce, okay, in the home. All right, so just be careful about that. Now, when you build, every wise woman buildeth her house. Now, when you do a building project, there are elements and things involved. First of all, you got an architect. Who is the architect of building the house? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the architect. Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So the Lord is the architect. The blueprint. Where do you think you find the blueprint for building your home? In the Bible. Amen. The Word of God. All right. Then you've got materials. What are the materials that a wise woman would use to build her home? Well, you got the attributes of the Proverbs 31 woman and others found in the Bible. The attributes of the Proverbs 31 woman and others found in the Bible. There are some wonderful women in the Bible, okay, that you can study their lives and find the elements there, the materials that would be used to help build your house. The supervisor is the husband, okay? He's the husband. And that means number E. I did go to school. I know it's letter E, okay? I do that often. Letter E, the laborer is the wise wife. The laborer is the wise wife. So you say, man, Pastor, I feel slighted to think that I am just a laborer on duty to build my home. But hear me, ladies, this is number 5. The wise woman realizes that God knows best as to what creates the maximum security and stability for you. God knows best what works to create the maximum security and stability. Look, if working outside the home created maximum security, fulfillment, stability, then don't you think God would have just told every woman to go find a job? But you don't find that. What you find in Titus chapter 2, verse number 5, is that God wants the women to be keepers at home. In 1 Timothy 5:14, he put it this way, let the women guide the house. Now, look at Proverbs 31 with me, okay? Turn over there, Proverbs chapter 31, and it's a familiar chapter to us. But here's what I want to, when you read the characteristics of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, it reads to me like all of these are in the context of her laboring for or at her home. Now, I'm not sure, I don't think she was confined to the four walls of a clay tile house, okay? But I want you to look here at what it says. Verse number 10, who can find the virtuous woman priced far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now, I have used this verse. I have heard others use it. And I don't think it's wrong to make an application here about the physical relationship between a man and his wife. I don't think it's wrong to make application with that verse. But the interpretation of this verse has more to do with material things. What's the best dictionary for the Bible? The Bible. When you read the word spoil in the Word of God, what is it talking about? It's talking about material things, isn't it? If the children of Israel defeated an army or a nation, they would go spoil the country. What would they do? They would take the gold, the silver, the precious stones. They would take the garments. Remember Jericho? And all the spoil is coming into the treasury of the Lord because it's the first fruits. Okay? So the spoil is, I think, the interpretation here, and as you read the following verses, has more to do with the material well-being of the home. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She's not a free spender. She doesn't run up a credit card debt. She doesn't have to have the latest, greatest fashions. And I know who I'm talking to tonight. I'm talking to a bunch of ladies whose primary shopping place is the Goodwill. And I will tell you something, there's not a thing wrong with that. And any of you kids who are wearing Goodwill clothes, there's nothing wrong with that. You go in these stores and it's remarkable sometimes. It's remarkable what people throw away. It's remarkable. It's just unbelievable. And I don't think there's anything wrong. Now, if you can afford something over at Penny's or some other place, great. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with a good, clean, used garment. A lot of times they're just used a couple times and folks that have money get rid of them. They clean out their closets and dump them over. Sometimes they get a tax deduction, I think, on their income tax for that. So out the window it goes. Out the door it goes. You know, Steve DeVries, you know, he picked up a fire truck. A brand new fire truck still attached. You know how they attach all those things to boxes now? You don't have to have instructions on how to run the vehicle. You have to run the toy. You have to have instructions on how to get the toy out of the box. Or just take your Sawzall to it, one or the other, you know. Had a bent axle. He took it and fixed it and gave it to somebody. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. Somebody just probably with extra just tossed it. People throw stuff away. It's crazy. So I know who I'm talking here to. This is talking about material goods, okay? He shall have no need of spoil. They're not going to have to go out and look for extra money, possibly. Now, wait a minute. Some guys have to work two jobs. I'm talking about having extra money because you can't, because you got a spender in the home. Okay? Look at here. She will do him good, not all evil. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax, worketh willingly with her hands. That talks like for her home. She is like the merchant ships. One of the greatest things, moms, that you can teach your children, your girls, is teach them how to sew. Here's the number one complaint about wearing modest clothing. You can't buy any. I know it. So you know what you do? There's a lot of nice patterns out there for stuff that's really sharp. You make it. Well, I don't know how to sew. Right over here, Joann's, they have sewing classes. It'd be a great investment. It's going to be more difficult. It's not going to get any better. It's not going to get easier to clothe your children in modest clothes. It's going to get more difficult the more this world goes to hell in a handbag. So, okay, she worked with her hands, flax, worketh with wool, flax. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Look at verse 16. She considereth the field and buyeth it. Wow. She didn't do that from her house. She didn't have internet. Redfin.com, whatever that real estate place is it called Redfin? Redfin, whatever, you know. She's not sitting in her home looking on the internet. Look, oh, I think I'll buy that piece of property. She had to go put her eyeballs on it. I mean, okay, so look, this is not some, here's my point. This is not some woman who's stuck in a cage, you know, whose hair is 8 feet long, and, you know, she got 26 babies, you know, and so she has no place to go, nothing to do. You're a stay-at-home mom. That's not what's going on here. She goes out and looks at a field. And she buys it. She buys it. She bought it. Now, suggestion, see Amanda Thacker and get you some real estate. Amen. But anyway, good plug for you tonight. Amen. All right. So, she girdeth her loins with strength. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Now, I didn't study all this out. I'm just reading here, okay? That's interesting, isn't it? My point is this, folks. I mean, let me ask you a question. Does it sound to you like this woman possibly brought some income into the house? But her main commitment was home. And you can see that in verse number 28. You want to know the definition of success? You want to read the crowning achievement for a woman? Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Ladies, if you gain the respect and praise of your husband and children, cha-ching. You may not bring a dime into that home. But if you have the respect of your children and your husband, and you've somehow benefited, and maybe you have brought money into the house. My point is this, folks. Here's a woman that obviously found a way to bring some income into their situation, but she did not do it at the expense of her family. You all see that? Okay? So that's why I'm not throwing you under the bus. You got a job, you got a part-time, you got something you go and do, you sell stuff on eBay. Ladies, I'm not against you, I'm for you. And you got multiple kids in the Christian school, and you get a $500 a month bill for tuition. That's more than a car payment. And so, and you say, you know what? I can't teach my children at home. You're not a second class citizen, and you're not some wallflower because you can't teach your children at home. In fact, I respect you for just facing reality and doing what's best for your children. And then, okay, then you have to, some of you can, and then you have to help make that, you got to find something while the kids are in school to do with your time. I'm not throwing you under the bus tonight. Just don't neglect your home. Just don't neglect your home. Okay? That's all I'm saying tonight. Now, by contrast, verse number 1, Proverbs 14, hurry back there. By contrast, the foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. It does not, folks, it does not take any teaching or schooling to tear something down. Some of you were here when we did this auditorium, and remember the old auditorium and Stewart Construction? Tim Stewart said, and I forget what the figure was. 3,000 comes to my mind, but it might have been more than that. It might have been 5,000. He said, Pastor, you can save $5,000. We have $5,000 in here for demoing. And I remember we got on the phone. And we called every man in the church. Do they have any experience? Who needs experience to tear anything apart? And a bunch of you came. And in a short time, we demoed that old auditorium and saved ourselves $3,000 or $5,000. Now, it would be a different story if we were building an auditorium. There's some of you we would not call. So you stay home and pray for us. Now, all I can do is be a gopher, but I'm a good gopher. But to tear it down, that doesn't take any schooling. It doesn't take any... All that takes is a little bit of elbow grease. Okay? Now, the foolish woman, she tears down her home, and she does it through neglect or apathy. That's all it takes. It doesn't take any schooling. It just takes neglect or apathy. Okay? Neglect or apathy. And this is where husband and wife need to sit down and look at the situation. The husband needs to look at the wife in the eyes and say, honey, can you keep our house? Can you guide our house? Can you build our house doing what you're doing? And if you can't, then I'm going to pull you off of that and I'm going to have to find a way to make up the balance. Because I understand your priority is here. And most women want that. So just talk it over. Be careful. Every wise woman buildeth her house. Living Wisely, Principle 31. The wise woman is happy in her great calling. Ladies, enjoy it. Okay? Now, the next one. Right? Living Wisely, Principle number 32. The wise do not seek wisdom with a scornful attitude. This will take me just a few minutes here. The wise do not seek wisdom with a scornful attitude. Look at verse number 6 here. The Bible says, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. Now, we've talked about getting wisdom before, but we never talked about this side of it. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. There are people who seem to be, and I emphasize that, people who seem to be in search of wisdom, but they never arrive at their destination. In order to obtain wisdom, number 9, you must look for it in the right places, using the right motives, with the right attitude. In order to obtain wisdom, you must look for it in the right places, using the right motives, and with the right attitude. The reason some never increase, number 10, in the knowledge and wisdom of God is because they are scoffers and scorners. They're scoffers and scorners. They have their minds made up in unbelief and are only looking for another opportunity to make light of or be critical of the Word of God. And if you think long enough, you probably have encountered someone of this nature. They're the ones that ask questions like, you're trying to talk to them about the eternal destiny of their soul, about the most important decision they'll ever make in their life, and their question is something like, well, if God is who He says He is, why did He create the devil in the first place? Or where did Cain get his wife? Or some kind of endless genealogy, like the Bible says in the book of Timothy, I believe, or Titus. And they don't want to get, years ago, this is back in the old building, there was a man who visited the service. I'll never forget it, a tall man. And I have his name here, but I won't use it just in case. And he visited, and he was a first-time guest. I went to see him in his home, and he told me this. He said, Pastor, I am searching for the truth, and when I find it, I will act on it. And I challenged him to come. I said, will you give me 5 Sunday mornings in a row and hear the Word of God? 5 Sunday mornings in a row. And he never came. Not once. Now, you think he's really searching for the truth? No. He's not searching for the truth. Now, look at Luke chapter 11. Just turn there. We'll be done. Luke chapter 11. Look at verse number 52 with me. That's in the New Testament. Luke chapter 11. Verse number 52. Luke 11 and verse 52. Here's an illustration of what I'm talking about. Pardon me. Luke chapter 11. And verse number 52 here. I'll get there with you. Number 52. Jesus is speaking, woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Now look, the lawyers mentioned here in verse 52 were not attorneys as we know them today. Okay? They were deeply versed in the law of Moses. That's why they were called lawyers. Deeply vested in the law of Moses. Now, folks, Jesus said to them in verse number 52, ye have taken away the key of knowledge. A key is made to lock or unlock something. You've taken away the key that unlocks the truth. Now, what is he saying? What happens here is these lawyers rejected Jesus as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, and as a result of that, they were locked outside the room of truth. Because Jesus is the key that unlocks all the room of truth. Now, they not only rejected Christ themselves, they worked hard to cause others to reject Jesus. And I want you to notice that they, along with the scribes and the Pharisees, began to vehemently question Jesus, but their questions were not asked sincerely. They asked questions hoping that Jesus would say something they could use against Him. They were not in search of knowledge. They were not in search of wisdom. They were scorners. They were scoffers. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35, the Bible tells about a lawyer who asked Jesus a question tempting Him. They did not come for wisdom with the right approach. And so it is today. People who do not begin with the attitude that the Bible is the Word of God will be locked out of the room of truth. That's number 11. People who do not begin with the attitude that the Bible is the Word of God will be locked out of the room of truth. I'm talking about people who say they want truth. And anyone they have influence over will be kept out as well. It's not enough for scorners to be locked out themselves. They look to turn others away who are starting to enter in also. Now, quickly, without turning to it, contrast the attitude of these men with that of Nicodemus. Number 12, who came to Jesus rightly? Nicodemus did. He came to the right place with the right motive and the right attitude, a sincere heart in search of wisdom. And Jesus reasoned with him all through John chapter 3. And folks, I think you can probably obviously say this, it's very certain that Nicodemus at some point after that gave his heart to Jesus Christ in salvation. What's the difference in Nicodemus and these folks? Nicodemus came to the right place with the right motive and the right attitude. The lawyers came to the right place, but they didn't have the right motive or the right attitude. And they couldn't find it. Excuse me, they wouldn't find it. Now, it is one thing to question with a desire to learn truth. It is something altogether different in question to question with the desire to mock or sneer at truth. People who mock or sneer at truth never come to true wisdom and truth. They never do. Now, let me say something to help you tonight, okay, that I think will, because once in a while, people ask legitimate questions. There are some scriptures in the Old Testament when it comes to numbering certain groups of people that sometimes, between the different accounts, don't mesh completely. And I've had people ask me about that. Well, over here it says, you know, this many thousand, and over here it says this many thousand, and, you know, which one is it? Here's the attitude I take toward that. There is a reasonable, logical explanation for this. One of these days, we'll learn it. It could be God just showing us the difference in people. Last week at Providence, we were going over a test that I had handed out, and one of the fellows said, "How many points was this test worth?" And I had counted it up previously and given it to my wife, but I hadn't written it down, and I said, "I don't know." I started counting, and they started counting, and I said, "I got 37. One guy said, "I got 39. One guy said, "I got 36. Another guy said, "I got 38. We all got the same test. Nobody at Providence can count. I don't know. I know this. I know this book is God's Word. I know that it is truth. If this number in here in 1 Samuel doesn't match up with this number in 2 Chronicles identically, there's probably a logical explanation somewhere. I just haven't found it. But I'm not going to take the attitude that this is probably a contradiction. Because when you take that attitude, you'll never come to the truth. Does that make sense to you? You'll never come to the truth. So I will never take the attitude, well, there's a contradiction. I found it. No. I don't know what it is. I can't fully explain it. But I think someday there's a logical, reasonable explanation. Someday maybe somebody will say something and I'll learn it. Or someday when I get to heaven and God will say this is this. But I am not going to doubt that that book is God's Word. And it's true. And I'll take that approach as opposed to, contradiction. People who have that approach never come to truth. Never do. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, be with us, I pray. I pray for the ladies of our church who are both wives and mothers. I pray that you'll please help them. God, help our young couples, help our families. Please, may we be built upon the principles and truths of your Word. Help us to have a great attitude. And the Lord, always approach your book as true and wise. And Lord, if there's a problem with understanding it, it's not with the Bible, it's with us. And we'll come to truth eventually someday. Thank you for all you do for us. I pray tonight you'll bless folks as they travel home with safety. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, please, just if anybody wants to slip out and pray, now's the time to come. If not, we will close the service.